Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's September 11th, 2020 program. Election Security. Are we ready? This is the 42nd program of our 2019-20 programming year. My name is Scott Coltrane, and I'm the City Club President. Before I introduce today's program on election security, I'd like to thank our Diamond sponsors. Kaiser Permanente exists to provide high-quality, affordable health care services and to improve the health of their members and the communities they serve. More information at www.kp.org. Support comes from the University of Oregon. Since 1876, UO has helped Oregonians question critically, think logically, reason effectively, communicate clearly, act creatively, and live ethically. More information at uoregon.edu. Peace Health is proud to serve Eugene, Lane County, and beyond. As your hometown health care partner for more than 80 years, Peace Health's mission is to keep you and your family healthy. Learn more at peacehealth.org. Lane Community College transforms lives through learning. LCC provides comprehensive, accessible, high-quality educational opportunities that promote student success. For more information, visit lanecc.edu. I would also like to thank the City of Eugene and Lane County for their generous support. Today's program is the first of 8 Friday forums focused on elections. Because we are offering these programs virtually, we would appreciate receiving questions from the audience by sending an email to administrator@cityclubofeugene.org. administrator@cityclubofeugene.org. Please submit your questions by Monday in order for them to arrive before we need to tape the sessions. You can find information on which candidates are appearing at which session on our website, cityclubofeugene.org. On to today's program on election security. In 2016, there were attempts to breach the security of many, if not all, state election systems. It is widely assumed that the efforts will continue this fall. Is our democracy being compromised? What are federal, state, and local authorities doing to protect the vote? The experts in charge of the voting system's security in Oregon and in Lane County will tell us about the level of the threats and all the efforts to fight them. I would like to thank Joel Corin, Chair of the City Club Program Committee, for organizing and coordinating today's program. Our speakers today are Steve Trout, Director of Elections for the Oregon Secretary of State's Office, and Cheryl Betchart, Lane County Clerk. Steve Trout has more than 23 years' experience in election law and administration at the state and county levels and in the private sector. He currently serves as Oregon's Director of Elections and Vice President for the National Association of State Election Directors. He's a past chair of the Electronic Registration Information Center and serves on the executive board of the U.S. Election Assistance Commission Standards Board, as well as chairing the Standards Board's Voluntary Voting System Guidelines Committee. In Oregon, Steve pioneered the use of tablets in elections and automatic voter registration. Steve earned degrees in law, managerial economics, and political science from the University of California at Davis. Cheryl Betchart has been a Lane County clerk for 10 years and has more than 18 years of experience in election management. As county clerk, Betchart is responsible for conducting all local, state, and national elections for more than 262,000 registered voters in Lane County. She leads a small year-round team that's responsible for everything from voter registration through certification of election results. Betchart also leads the County Deeds and Records Division of Lane County. She has served on a number of state election committees, including the Uniformed and Overseas Citizen Absentee Voting Act Committee, the Help America Vote Act Steering Committee, the Oregon Association of County Clerks, Program and Initiative, and Election Legislative Committees. Betchart earned her bachelor's degree from Oregon State University. Now on to today's program. Steve, we'll start with you.
Well, thanks for having me here at the City Club. Great to be able to talk about one of my favorite subjects, election security. I'm Steve Trout, the State Election Director, and great to spend some time with you and hopefully get you some information that will help you to know a little bit more about what we're doing to secure elections so that you can have more confidence in the process. I love to tell people that our elections today are more secure than they ever have been, and they are. That being said, we need to continue to be vigilant to continue to improve our processes, improve our technology, so that we can stay ahead of any bad actors and make sure that we can keep our elections as secure and as possible. One of the great things that's happened after the election security issues back in 2016 is great partnerships that have developed between the federal, state, and local governments. Prior to the 2016 election, I didn't know anybody at the federal government level that I could call, you know, about cyber issues or intelligence briefings or any online crimes that were happening. And they didn't know who to call at the state or the county levels. And so that was part of the challenge of the 2016 election cycle when, you know, really we had to face these issues of cybersecurity and election security really for the first time. And so since then, we've learned a lot. There's been, as I said, a lot of great partnerships built. And so, you know, I've got people on speed dial now at both the federal and the state and local governments that if something happens, you know, we know the right people to call. We know the right people that can help us. And, you know, that really is comforting to me to know that we've got other professionals out there with skill sets that, you know, frankly, election officials don't, you know, haven't had. And you know, I don't have any cyber training or even IT training. And yet, you know, we've had to become versed in these issues. But it's great to know that we've got experts at all levels of government to be able to help us to, again, keep our elections secure. One of the great things we've been able to do in Oregon is back in 2018, we established what I think is a first in the nation. Which is, we call it the Tiger Team. And so Tiger, I always have to look it up. I need to memorize this better, but it's Threat Information Gathering and Election Resources. And so, you know, spending all this time getting to know the federal government, everything they do has an acronym. So we figured we needed to have an acronym for our group name. And so what this group is, it's you know, myself, members of the Oregon Elections Division, the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. That's a part of the Department of Homeland Security. We've got the Oregon Election, the Oregon Emergency Management Office, the Oregon Chief Information Officer and the Cybersecurity Services Section, the Oregon National Guard, the FBI, the Oregon Titan Fusion Center. And just in the last few months, we've added representatives of the U.S. Postal Inspectors group. And so we meet at least monthly to talk about threats, to talk about things that we can do to assist the counties and assist the state to be able to have a better grasp on making sure that our elections are more secure. And so, again, it's been great to be those resources available to us to be able to go out and you know, what our challenges are, what our opportunities are, and to be able to identify some things that we can do better and then allow us to go forward and train us at the state and those at the county level on things that we can do to improve the security of our elections. One of those things that has been happening as part of CISA, the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, our Oregon regional representative has been going out and has actually done on-site assessments at all of the county election facilities. And so I've been able to go on a few of those and you know, they're 3 or 4 hour assessments going through, looking at physical security, cybersecurity, just at any vulnerabilities that you know, an individual office might have. The nice thing about doing it through CISA is that that's all protected information. And so it's not disclosable so that, you know, other people can't come in and find out what those vulnerabilities are. which allows the county election people, the county IT people, my office to be more open and really addressing what our risks are and what we can do to improve our posture. And so that's been a really valuable tool, I think, to be able to get out and just to see where we are. It's been good. We've been doing that here for over a year now. And then the legislature has allowed us to use some of the federal grant money to be able to pay to address some of those concerns and those issues. And it's amazing when you go on some of these assessments, we walk into our office, when you're going into an office or walk into your home when you're working from home, new COVID challenges. And you do that every day, and it's amazing how many things we miss that are right out there in the open as far as physical security vulnerabilities. And so it's great to be able to go get a fresh set of eyes, some vision, with respect to kind of a threat model. It's like if I was a bad actor, what would I do? And so we kind of go through that. We've done that with each county, and it's been good to be able to identify those issues so that then we can try to solve them. And we've made a lot of progress in that. And that's why I said, as I said at the beginning, that we're in a much stronger security posture now than we were before 2016. And that's because of these federal and state and local partnerships and the work of the experts in the field that are helping us to be more prepared and more aware and ultimately more secure. I get national briefings, both classified secret clearance level briefings and those that are unclassified frequently throughout the year. And again, it's because we have those relationships now that we didn't have prior to 2016 that we're able to share information about threats or other issues that we need to tackle. One of the great things we've been able to do in the state here, and we're actually right in progress right now, is what's called an Albert sensor. And that's a sensor that goes over a network that tracks and reports any activity. That information goes back to, a watch center. They're watching the activity to look for the suspicious, anything that's on the list of things to of bad actors to watch out for. And so we've been able to, again, with some of the federal funding that the legislature has let us move forward with, to get to purchase those Albert sensors for each county. And so we're in the process of making the contracts between the county and the security team to be able to get those in place. And we've actually been able to, we've got some of them online already and others that are coming online here this month. And so that's really exciting. And the great thing is we get, very quick notifications of anything that were to go wrong, that we wouldn't have had any idea of previously. And, for example, last week, I was, in a meeting and working on something and I got an email alert and a phone call from the monitoring station saying that one of our counties, had been infected with malware because they clicked on a link that they shouldn't have clicked. And, I think I was notified of that within 5 minutes of that being clicked. And, the county IT director was notified. I called the county clerk. And we really, we really surrounded the issue and the IT director had the machine, segregated. I had the connections to the Central Voter Registration Database, terminated to make sure that nothing came backwards into our system while we worked the problem. And, from the moment that, that email was opened, within 17 minutes, we had already isolated the machine, made sure that it hadn't spread anywhere else, and resolved the ticket, it was a great example of that teamwork and having those sensors to identify that. If we didn't have those sensors, that that could have been on the system and propagating and spreading. We don't know how long it would have been until it was recognized. And so, that was really a great new feature that we've been able to provide to the counties. You all see in the news and other reports that malware, ransomware, phishing attacks, they're more prevalent, not just in elections, but in the world in general. And one of the things I've learned a lot doing these different assessments and working with the counties is how interconnected everything is. Just securing the county elections office isn't going to be enough. Because they're connected to other things within the county. And some other county department might get infected, and that could move on to the county elections office. And so recognizing that these are all interconnected. And so that's why it was great that we were able to get the Albert sensors to be able to cover the entire county network and not just the elections office. And so, that's something that's, I think is really going to pay dividends as we go forward, because again, the faster we can find out, that something is amiss or that something is being attacked, the better it is, the more options we have to stop it and to isolate it. We work hard to do training and don't click on links that you don't know and all of the different, cyber hygiene, lessons that we have. That being said, we're human and there's a whole bunch of people that touch this. And so there's going to be occasions where somebody's going to do something that's going to introduce, some malware. And so we need to have processes and procedures in place to be able to address that. It's nice that we're having more tools to be able to identify those things. So because we know that this may happen, okay, so what do we do if it does happen? And so we spent a lot of time the last couple of years doing tabletop exercises, different simulations. What could happen? What are we going to do? And so last summer, all the county clerks meet annually for a summer conference. And so last summer we were in LeGrand and we had CISA come and help us with a simulated exercise that I worked on with the president of the County Clerks Association, simulating, challenges in a vote by mail environment. We've done a number of national tabletop exercises that have focused a lot on polling places and other pieces of the election, but we really wanted this one to be specific to Oregon, the way we do things in our vote by mail. And so, that was a great scenario where we talked through different threats that might happen, different things that could happen that we needed to be prepared for, different contingency plans that we needed to have, what our risk management processes were going to be, what our communications are going to be. That's one of the big challenges too, if something happened 4 years ago, nobody would know who to call. I think now we're in a much better position to be able to know who to call and to spread the word to get the help that can be there. So, that was a really great exercise last year that I think helped really to help all of our county clerks, because, we've got large counties, we've got small counties, and any one of them is vulnerable. And so we need to make sure that we're building all of them up in their knowledge and understanding of cyber threats. And so I think that was a great exercise to be able to do that. And there was a lot of takeaways there that then led to conversations within county governments about things that needed to be done and that could be done to make things more secure. So there's been a lot of activity the last 3 years working to make our systems more secure as we've learned more about the threats, learned more about the different tools that are available for us to be able to battle them. We've been trying to educate the public about the different things we're doing. That's why I'm really grateful for City Club to be able to let us talk about what's really going on, because I think we don't realize all of what's going on behind the scenes. February, before we were on, the Secretary of State's office hosted a election security symposium with the FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office. And so that was a great public. We recorded it. You can access that on our website if you're interested in watching that. But, talked about the different threats, the different players and had a representative from Facebook there and others that just talked how interconnected all of these things are, and how, you know, we all need watchful for misinformation and cyber threats. So you know, I think you know, there's been going on there, and you know, as we transition here, and I'll pass it over to Cheryl. You know, one of the things that I've really tried to do as well is information, again, that's been new to me in the last 3 or 4 years, and things that I've learned and help to push that down to the counties and help to educate them and bring them up to speed as far as what some of the things that we can do to mitigate risk and to be aware of. You know, one of the things they give me a bad time about is I send phishing emails to them occasionally. And not just because it's from trout that it's phishing, but, you know, email trying to get them to click on something. And, I, you know, I know how to push their buttons. And so, you know, some of them I've been pretty successful at getting people to, you know, to click. But, I think, you know, if you would have polled the counties and frankly, my team, you know, back in 2017, what a phishing email was, I don't think very many people would have known. I think all of us know now, and we're on the lookout and trying to you know, to pull it. I'll get a couple calls a week from somebody that says, "Did you really send this?" And that's good. And so I think, you know, we've got a better sense of security and vulnerabilities. And so you know, again, that sharing of information from state and local authorities is important. And I think we've done a much better job. There's still more we can do. But Cheryl, why don't you tell us about you know, security from the perspective of the county?
Thank you, Steve, and thank you to the City Club for just hosting this today. Obviously, security is one of our top priorities as a county clerk. It's something that we think about all the time. Ensuring the integrity of the process is extremely important. And I thought I'd just cover a few of the things that we do at the local level. Annually, we file a security plan with the Secretary of State's office that outlines our plan for securing elections. And that has to be reviewed and approved by the Secretary of State's office. And we have, that's been approved every year here in Lane County in the 20 years or so that I've been with the county. So that's very, very good information. Let's talk about our ballot tabulation system a little bit, how we're actually scanning and tabulating the ballots and the security of that process. Here in Lane County, we use a clear ballot tabulation equipment and software. I think we're one of maybe 19 counties in Oregon that have used that system. And all of the voting system, the machine, and the programs that are used to count ballots, they've been certified by a federally accredited voting system test laboratory. And they've been further analyzed to ensure the security of that system. We have a state certification committee as well that reviews the plans and those systems and agrees that these are secure. And that's something that I'm really extremely proud to have been a part of over the years. Because nothing is more important than having a secure equipment and software to tabulate those ballots that are coming in. It's important to note that we have a closed secure system. So when we're tabulating ballots, we're not connected to the internet in any way. So that's very important. Oregon uses paper ballots. So we have a clear paper trail. And that's also another important aspect of Oregon systems and Lane County. For every election, we have to do what we call balancing the election. That means that we keep track of all the ballots that have come in, how many envelopes have been received, the number of tabulated or counted ballots, and we file a report with the Secretary of State's office. So we have to balance 100% with everything that's been received and make sure that everything's accounted for. Prior to the ballots being counted, our vote tabulating system is tested 3 separate times for logic and accuracy. And what that entails is that we mark all of our test ballots. We run them through the vote counting machines to make sure they match the pre-expected test results and ensure that they're tabulating correctly. So here in Lane County, we have four scanners that we utilize for scanning ballots. So each of those four machines are tested. They have to have the same results each time that we conduct that test. Our final test is after the election. So we make sure that what we tested at the beginning matches what we test at the end. And so again, we have been successful in that process ongoing. Another thing that's in place is that after the conclusion of this election, there will be a random audit conducted. And that is something where human beings come in. They will review all of the ballots. They will review a portion of the ballots that have been tabulated to prove that the results that we produced are accurate. And then a report will be filed with the Secretary of State's office. So previously, this was conducted after general elections, but a law change has resulted, and that random audit will be done now after every election here that we conduct. The other thing that's important is that all ballots are counted in a secure room at our elections office. So we have security cameras in place wherever ballots are being processed in our building. And all of our processes require two people of different political party affiliation as we conduct different processes in our building. So when we go to the drop sites to pick up ballots, when we, for everything that we do in the election process, we ensure that there are at least two people with different political party affiliation in that combination. So we also have some other things that we've done at the county level. We've been really fortunate to participate with the Secretary of State's office and county clerks throughout Oregon. We have participated in three different tabletop exercises to simulate, as Steve mentioned previously, some of the different aspects or challenges that we might have to face during an election. So those have been extremely valuable. Myself and some of my staff have participated in those. That way we can plan and anticipate if something like that does happen, what is the outcome that we hope to accomplish? What do we have in place that can mitigate that type of a scenario that would be conducted if it should ever occur here in Oregon and specifically Lane County? Lane County is a member of the MSISIC, the Multi-State Information Sharing and Analysis Center. We receive ongoing updates about those bulletins that are of concern, and we have some of our tech services team that actually monitor those on a daily basis. The Albert Sensing Center, we've been a part of that group for some time now, our county has, so we're actively looking for those bulletins and responding to those as those possible threats come before us. So I'm really pleased that we have an active technology services team here in the county that supports the election process and is available and monitoring those bulletins on a daily basis. So it makes me feel a lot better when we're conducting elections. There's just a lot happening out there in the world right now. So we do receive those regular bulletins. In addition to that, we have a strong partnership with the Secretary of State's office, State Elections Division. Steve Trout and his staff are wonderful to work with, and other county clerks. We have a good, strong association that we share information on a regular basis, which helps us all just be informed about possibilities of things happening, and it just keeps us stronger with that good communication. We're always working with our public information officer here in Lane County to ensure that we keep the public informed of what's happening and we educate the public and our voters so they're aware of what's going on. We're actually meeting this week to review our media plan and in hopes of sending out bulletins and information to keep people educated, to try to give the voters and the public just information about what they need to expect. What are their concerns? How can they be addressed? And security obviously is one of those primary concerns. Lane County has already participated in a facilities assessment. We had one conducted earlier this year by our county sheriff's office. They have a plan and things that they check for. We have also had the security assessment by Homeland Security. And we walked away with some tools and some things to take a look at. So those were two assessments that have never been done here in Oregon, in Lane County specifically. So we were really fortunate to have those assessments and we're real appreciative to the state for helping with that process. There's also As far as the different resources that we have available to us that I previously mentioned and Steve mentioned, we're going to continue to work in a manner to just keep that communication going. And our number one goal is to conduct a strong, successful election with the highest amount of integrity and good security in place so that we can all feel confident in the process and as we move through the election and certification of the election. So it's very important to me and to our voters here at Lane County. So with that, I'll turn that over to Steve, and I think we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about some the mail and what's happening there. Steve, any other last-minute comments on security?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Cheryl. I mean, there's just so much that goes on, but I just really want to emphasize one piece of this when we talk about the tally systems, that they are not connected to the internet. You know, they are a closed, isolated network that, you know, is not connected. And so I know there's a lot of fear out there about vote tally machines being hacked or results. And you know, you would physically have to have access, you know, in Lane County to Cheryl's, you know, to Cheryl's operation and office to be able to impact that in some way. And so, you know, that's one of the clear, you know, separations that we have to be able to protect the vote tally system itself. So, you know, the only way that we get results is when she takes, you know, the results out of the system, you know, on a thumb drive, USB drive, and takes it out to her network or her computer that's connected to the network with the internet to be able to upload it to our side and our election night reporting. But, you know, there's nothing to get in to compromise those vote tally systems. And so that's an important piece. And then as we talk about security, especially cybersecurity, you know, one of the things that we really have to balance is, you know, the safest thing for us to do is just to shut everything down. But we're not going to do that. I mean, most people, you know, register to vote online, you track your ballot online, you can update your registration, choose your political party, check campaign finance filings. You know, there's so much information that we have that we want the public to have to be able to have confidence in the system and to be able to interact with us. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of our lives is done interacting online. And so we know the public demands that. We want to continue to provide that. We just have to find ways to do that in a secure and safe way, and also to keep it isolated from those things that we can't, that we can't repair if there were access to that. And so that's why we've got different standards for the vote tally systems versus like the online registration system and others that we could, we could go back and track and is not going to impact the vote totals of that election. And we'd have time to go back and address some of that. So, I think it's really important also when we talk about security to recognize that physical security is just as important as cybersecurity. But we've been doing in elections, we've been doing physical security for a long, long time and do it really well at keeping the ballot secure, during the election. And so that's a big piece of this as well. But I think as Cheryl was talking about different contingency plannings from these tabletop exercises, I mean, of all years, this is the one that, if something bad could happen, it probably will because it's 2020. And we kind of laugh because we don't want to cry when they talk about the asteroid hitting the Earth on the day before the election. But, we have to plan for the power going out or not being able to travel or now with COVID, not being able to have buildings open with drop boxes. And so, we take what we've got and try to, work with the scenario that we've been given and have different contingency plans. And I think this preparation and these tabletop exercises have really helped us be more prepared for whatever pops up. So that helps me to sleep at night to know that we've thought through probably something that's probably worse than could ever actually happen, knock on wood. But, just to be able to think about these things ahead of time will make us better prepared if and when something bad should happen. So hopefully this has helped you to recognize all of the steps that we go through, to make sure that the election is secure and that you can have confidence that It hasn't been tampered with either cyber, cyber wise or physical security wise. I think we do a really good job, and we continue to analyze and evaluate to identify any risk that we have so that we can try to mitigate those. And as Cheryl said, every year, each county gives a security plan to my team, and we review that, and continue to make things better and more secure. So excited about that. And then also while we're here, we want to talk about our great partnership of a long time with the United States Postal Service. Obviously, we've been doing vote-by-mail elections exclusively in Oregon for 20 years, but really we've been doing elections by the mail, since the 80s. And so this is not something that is new to us. It is new to a lot of the country, or at least it's being expanded to a big chunk of the people that haven't done that before. But, I can't imagine doing this, conducting an election in the middle of a pandemic or even without the pandemic, without a great partnership with the Postal Service. And they truly are our partners. And I feel like they feel as a part of the team and that the election can't happen without them, and it can't. And so we're really grateful for their continued partnership and the close coordination that we have with them and have had. And so, there's been a lot of noise out there about postal changes and the like. And I can tell you, as far as Oregon's concerned, I'm not worried at all about the Postal Service. We've always been given better service standards than have been promised. They truly prioritize ballots here in Oregon, we had an election up in Multnomah County up in August, and we didn't see any reduction in service levels. And so I'm confident that, as we move forward, we continue to have close coordination with our partners at USPS, we're going to have as good of service levels as we had for the May primary, which was very smooth. Part of that relationship is that close coordination. And so actually starting next Monday, we'll have our first call with the Postal Service to talk about deliveries for the November 3rd general election. And so on that call will be, all the county clerks are invited, county election offices, our ballot printers, our ballot mailers, and the USPS folks, so that we can sit down and talk about when ballots need to be mailed and delivered, and when they're going to be received from the mailhouse, voters pamphlets as well, and when those are expected to be into mailboxes. And we do this at every major election, and I think we've really perfected this at figuring out what people need to know or what's going to happen, and so that then plans can be made as far as the logistics and the timing of when things are going to come, so that there won't be surprises. When I give 2 million voters pamphlets and dump them off at the post office, they appreciate a heads up that it's coming, and so that they can plan and prepare for it to be able to get those turned around. And the same thing then the following week with the ballots. And so having those coordination calls and those meetings, I think really helps to set the expectations so that postal folks can let their teams know, hey, this is coming, be prepared, be on the lookout, so that they, again, can prioritize those ballots for us. And then once ballots, once we get to the third week in October, once ballots are out and in the mail, then we'll have daily calls with the post office, that same group, just to see if there's any delivery issues or, any other challenges that we need to discuss that we can then work the problem. And those have been really successful as well, to be able to, again, help us to know that, if there are any issues or areas that are having problems, then we can do an investigation, figure it out. But the main thing is we can reach out and get a replacement ballot to those voters, quickly. And so that helps us to identify any problems earlier rather than waiting closer to the election to find out about them from the voters. So one of the things that, a lot of people don't realize, because here in Oregon, we the counties have to have the ballot in their hand by the close of the 8 o'clock on election day. Some states, allow postmarks, but here in Oregon, we say, it needs to be in the hands of the election official by 8 o'clock on election day. And so what that means, though, is sometimes there's ballots at the main postal facility that are in transit. And so we actually have people go to the main post office in Portland to be able to pick up all of the ballots that are in the mid, that may be, moving from point A to point B, and collect them all, so that at least we can, receive those, have them received in time, and count them. If we would wait and let those go on the truck out to where we are headed, they'd get there the next day and it'd be too late. We wouldn't be able to count them. And so that's one of the ways that we've been really able to, to be successful in making sure that we count, a majority of the ballots. And the interesting stat is, in Oregon, the number of ballots that are rejected because they're returned too late is, about 0.2 to 0.25% over the last few elections. In Washington state, where they have, they allow postmarks, they're rejecting 0.3%. So we're rejecting fewer, even though we don't allow postmarks. And so that's, that's an interesting piece. But I think a lot of that is because we do these sweeps at the post office, both the regional facility there in Portland, and then I'm sure Cheryl can talk about what she and her team do locally. But we're really going the extra mile to find those ballots and get them into our hands by 8 o'clock so that we can count them. One other thing that's new this year is the prepaid postage. So the legislature passed a law that says the state will pay for the postage for people to return their ballots. So that's, something that's new. Over the last few cycles, over 60% of voters had returned their ballots to drop boxes. 35 to 40% through the mail. And so for the May primary, that number was 50-50. So 50% through the mail, 50% through drop boxes. There's a couple variables there. Obviously COVID, people weren't out and about. And so we're confident that more people mailed them back because they were staying at home. But then also we know that there's some people that return them through the mail because the postage was prepaid. So, those are new variables, but again, it's not a huge change. Those are things that we continue to evaluate and have to implement. And again, we work with the post office to be able to do that. And that's one of the things we're actually going to be piloting an innovation here in November. They call it business reply mail, the prepaid postage. And so when those come back, like for the May primary, they actually have to be counted and weighed in order to know how many came back, counted by hand, to be able to know how many came back so that they could bill us. We're going to pilot an automated system here in November that we'll have the machines go through and tally those up so that they can bill us based on that. And so we're hopeful that's going to speed up the process. Confident it's going to speed up the process and get the ballots back to the county a little bit faster. And the other thing that kind of a silver lining, I guess, with all of the attention on the post office here the last month or so is, I think that we're going to get ballots back a little bit earlier. There's some people that are going to be mailing them back earlier, which is great. That helps us flatten the curve of ballots coming back in. Spread that out over a couple weeks instead of over a couple days. And that makes it easier for Cheryl and her colleagues to be able to process the ballots in an efficient way. And so, again, there's been a lot of talk about postal issues. In Oregon, it's really not an issue at all. But nationally, and I talked to a lot of my peers in other states. I had, back in March when, kind of everything shut down, my phone started ringing off the hook. And, I think I had like 30 states that reached out to me in those first couple of days. And so I called my counterpart up in Washington state and I said, hey, I bet you're getting a whole bunch of calls too. Why don't we just have a weekly call where everybody can get on the call and we can just tell them once. And so we started doing that back in March and continue to do that, today. Just talking about those postal issues. And I know, the very first call, they said, what's the first thing we should do? And I said, the very first thing you should do is today call your local postal officials and your regional postal officials and start to build that relationship, because you're not going to succeed in a vote by mail election unless you've got that partnership down and are working together. And so we've talked about those issues in other states over the intervening months. I feel confident that they have a good understanding of what needs to be done. That being said, we didn't get to Oregon, we didn't get here overnight. I mean, we've been working this process for 40 years and continuing to fine tune it and improvement. It's not just a switch that you can flip to say, all right, we're going to go all vote by mail. And so I've been trying to help the other states to do that. And so I think there's probably going to be some press and some stories of some challenges in some of the other states because it's new and some of those relationships aren't what they are here. And so, just a warning that, we may hear some things from some other states. That doesn't mean that what happens in one state is what's happening in Oregon, because again, I feel confident that with our partners at USPS, we're gonna be as good, if not better than we have been in the previous elections. So, kind of from the state perspective, I think that's, kind of the big story as far as postal issues and working our relationship there. I'll hand it over to Cheryl for anything she'd like to add about postal issues from the county perspective.
Thank you, Steve. So I really feel very good about our relationship with the local post office as well as our state partners. We do have that conference call that's coming up next week. It's just a great way to set the tone and the expectations about each of our roles in this process. And we certainly do rely on that great partnership with the post office that we've valued over the years. Lane County has 20 official drop site locations, including the elections office. We have not reduced the number of drop boxes in our county. That has stayed stable for a number of years right now. They're geographically located throughout the county, hopefully for ease of voter access. And what we've seen is we receive anywhere from 70 to 80% of our voters returning at a drop site location. So that's what we've been, the pattern that's been seen here in Lane County. Certainly now with the business reply envelope being paid, that could change that distribution. But we've only had one election to analyze for that. So right now we're very big on returning at the official drop site locations. And we've seen an increase specifically of voters returning the ballots directly here to Lane County elections. We've got a 24-hour drop site on the corner off of 10th and Lincoln Street. So you can just drive right through. All of our drop boxes, in fact, are 24-hour drop site location. So that information will be included with each voter's ballot material. When you're mailed, you'll have an informational insert which will include all of those 20 drop site locations, so you can find the one that's convenient for you. But for the smaller percentage that does decide to return by mail, that might be more convenient, that's still okay. We follow the post office's recommendation for returning that ballot by mail 7 days prior to the election day. So we want to make sure that those ballots are received on time. Nothing is worse than coming in the day after the election and getting even a handful, even one ballot received too late, because Oregon law does require they have to be received at an official drop site location, anywhere in Oregon for that matter, but specifically if you're in Lane County, you'll want to give yourself enough time to get those to us in time. The local ballots are being mailed out and delivered to the post office on October 15th, so you've got plenty enough time to review that ballot, cast that ballot, and as Steve mentioned, I think that we're going to see returns coming back earlier rather than towards election day deadline, because they want to be sure to get it in on time, and we support that 100%. So get your ballot in time and vote it and get it in promptly so we can get it recorded and received. And you can track that your ballot's been received at OregonVotes.gov. So whether you mail it or use one of the official drop site locations, you can go and check and make sure that we've received it. That's really important, I think, for voters to have that information and that tracking available. The other thing I just wanted to mention is that if there's any question, if you don't get your ballot for whatever reason, you can also go to OregonVotes.gov to just check on your registration status. You can do that right now and see where are you properly registered. Make sure that you're showing up. And if you don't, get yourself registered in time. And you can do all of that at OregonVotes.gov. Another thing that I want to encourage voters to do is you can check information at our local website, lanecountyor.gov/elections. You can get all things related to registration, casting your ballot. We will have the drop site locations listed on there. They're not there right now, but they will be listed. Also has our critical dates. There's just a lot of important information. So if you're looking for something, feel free to go to that elections website for information. And if you have any questions about security, about timeliness of receiving your ballot, OregonVotes.gov, our local website, and of course, we're always available by phone. Right now, our county is still, most of us are closed to walk-in customers, but we are available by phone. And those hours for Lane County are 9 to noon and 1 to 4 p.m. every day. You can call us at 541-682-4234, and we can help with anything that you might have that you might be thinking about. Really important to just remember, Oregon is so unique with vote by mail. Our security, our vote by mail process, our partnership with the post office, with the Secretary of State's office is incredibly important and has been strong. We really know how to conduct elections. I'm very pleased to be a part of it and want to ensure that, you know, we can answer any questions or concerns that you might have. So give us a call if you need something. We're happy to help with that. So Steve, any last comments on any of those items?
You know, Cheryl, thank you. I just want to reinforce what you said. You know, go today and check your address at OregonVotes.gov. Make sure that it's current. You know, we work hard to try and update addresses when people move, and we have different bases to be able to take action off of. But, you know, we don't know automatically when someone moves unless you tell us, or we're able to find out about it later. And so, you know, the best thing to do is go on now, because, you know, don't wait until the voter registration deadline on October 13th, because by then, you know, Cheryl has already sent the file to the printer with the address that you got in there. So now is the time for people to go and verify that their address is correct, or if it's been changed, to update it. And then again, the best way to feel good that your ballot got to, that it's on its way and that it got to where it's supposed to go so that it can be counted, is to track it. And everybody can go on to OregonVotes.gov on the My Vote section. And enter your information, and it'll tell you, when the ballot's going to be sent to you, when it was sent to you, and that it was received, and so you know, that can give you peace of mind to know that the ballot got to where it goes. I will put the caveat that it's not real time, so we're still our systems are still not totally state of the art. We're working on getting them to be faster, so. You know, if you drop your ballot in a drop box on Tuesday, it might not show up until Thursday that it's been received, because it has to get entered by the counties and scanned in, and then our system has to update it once a day. Give it a couple days after you drop it in, and it should show up there so that you can know that it was received. So, a great source is, Cheryl said, OregonVotes.gov, to be able to know what's happening with your ballot, and encourage you to go there and make sure your information is current and accurate today, so that makes it easier for Cheryl and her colleagues to get the right ballot out in the most timely manner. So we've got a great partnership with the United States Postal Service. They're they do great work for us in getting the ballots to and from the voters of Oregon, voters pamphlets, and all of the other election mailings that we work with them and have great confidence that they're going to deliver another great election experience for November 3rd. So look forward to any questions that we're able to take, but just wanted to, again, say thanks to the City Club for having us here to be able to talk about, something that both Cheryl and I feel passionate about is administering these elections in a fair and a nonpartisan way so that the will of the people can be reflected. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
So we had a question about what we should expect with respect to results being reported on election night. And, that's going to vary throughout the country. Clearly in Oregon, we can open ballots a week beforehand. And so we're going to be able to report right at 8 o'clock, probably 50% of what the ultimate turnout will be. Other states aren't going to be as lucky because, again, many of them don't have the experience we have with vote by mail, and it's going to take them more time. Especially those states that allow postmarks to come in. Some of them aren't even going to get ballots until Thursday or Friday after the election. And so that's going to make it hard to get big numbers with respect to turnout and the election right at on election night. And so I think people need to be patient that the results may be later than they're used to. That being said, we have 30 days to certify the election here in Oregon. And so all the ballots are going to get counted, and it may take a little bit longer in some of the other states because they've got more ballots to deal with that came through the mail than they're used to.
This has been our September 11th program, Election Security. Are we ready? Before we close, I'd like to recognize some gold sponsors: Pacific Cascade Federal Credit Union, Jerry Diethelm, architect, landscape architect, Dr. Sandy Ibarra of Hearing Associates, and thank you to our in-kind sponsors, KRVM 91.9 Radio, Pack Info and Simplified Computing LLC, Dot Dotson's Photography, and Network Charter School. It is our expectation to have our taped conversations available by Fridays at noon. We want to thank you all for supporting us during this difficult time. And a special thank you to public radio station KLCC 89.7 for airing City Club programs on Mondays at 7 p.m. Next week, we will offer a program on evaluating political candidates through an equity lens. Please join us on September 18th at noon. In the lead up to Election Day, candidates for public office describe their relevant experience and explain their position in ways designed to win votes. Their campaign workers call thousands of prospective supporters to advertise the sterling qualities of the candidates. In choosing among the options, voters consider not just the candidate's party, but also their knowledge, responsiveness to community concerns, willingness to put the time in to do the job right, and basic honesty. But in these times, the broader community has become painfully aware of the ways that past policies and practices have left some neighbors behind. We recognize that inequality is built into systems. Rebuilding to improve fairness and equalize opportunity requires electing candidates who show commitment to and talent for this work. How should we determine which candidates those are? In this program, three experts from the University of Oregon will share ideas about what voters should look for if a primary goal is to create better and more just systems of governance. We will hear from Allison Gash, Associate Professor of Political Science, Heather McClure, Director of the Center for Equity Promotion, and Reuben Bundy, a PhD candidate in the Department of Political Science, all from the University of Oregon. Please join us again on September 18th. More details and information about future programs can be found online at City Club's website, cityclubofeugene.org. Now I'd like to acknowledge today's speakers, Steve Trout and Cheryl Betschart. Thank you for a very interesting and informative program, and thank you for all you do to keep our elections safe. This concludes today's program. Be well and stay safe.